Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion. Catherine Wells, welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. I am so happy to have you here today. And we're doing something new. We've never interviewed one of my coaching clients before. So I thank you for being willing to do that and tell your story and to tell people about the work we've done together. And we're going to reveal what you're doing now, but I want to welcome you and have you just tell us a little bit about your background of what you've done before doing this new venture, where you came from, and maybe where you're sitting today.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to talk to you about our experience together, Pivot with Purpose, and what it's meant to me and how it's kind of gotten me where I am today. I spent about 30 years in that crazy dot-com digital media world, you know, from the 1.0 bubble through the 2.0 all the way through to whatever 0.0 we are now. And mostly in media like television. And I just sort of hit a wall with all of it. It just was no longer doing for me what it had done, and I needed a change. I was in a position to kind of take a little bit of a break, and so I did. And I was doing a lot of ceramics. Just, it was so cathartic, and it felt so good to kind of stick my fingers in clay and to be creative again. And then I kept walking after my ceramics classes that were held in this gorgeous studio in Brooklyn called Brooklyn Clay. And it's in a brand new development right up the street from Barclays Center. And there was this store, an empty raw space, never been used, with a, you know, for lease sign outside. And every day I would walk by and go, somebody should put a store in there where they're selling all the stuff that people are making in Brooklyn Clay. And I keep sort of referring to it in my head as the somebody should syndrome, right? Because we all have those, right? Somebody should do this. Somebody should do this. And I finally was like, you know, I love making ceramics, but I'm not that great at it. And it's going to take me 10 years to get great at it. Why don't I open a store? Why that somebody should is me. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So, we'll back up a little bit. And, so Catherine is in Brooklyn, and, she had big wig jobs for a long time. And, we got together in 2019 to take these ideas and see if you could do something with it. And, in 2020, you've been working on your store. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the vision is for the store and how you've, what you've done so far?
Yeah, so the top line for the store is that it's a home decor store featuring primarily Brooklyn artists, but others further afield as well, and mostly focusing on handmade things, but I have a few, I think everything is, almost everything is handmade or at least designed locally. And it's kind of an antithesis to the mass produced sort of bland everyday things that we end up with in our homes that don't really have much meaning for us. And I think that everyone at every income level and bracket is capable of owning something that is artful and meaningful and relatable and beautiful, and or interesting. and that's kind of what I'm aiming to be, the person.
And you are that. Yeah. I mean, so Catherine, since we worked together and you created this vision, you've launched your online store. So tell everyone your .com and your name and how you got the name.
Okay. So the store is called Cain Sloan. It's C-A-I-N, new word, Sloan, S-L-O-A-N. But the .com is just all one word, CainSloan.com. If any of these listeners are from Nashville, you've probably heard of Cain Sloan because it was a department store that was founded by my great-grandfather in 1903. And by, I think it, the last Cain Sloan was around until like the mid 80s, and it ended up getting bought up by other stores, Federated or Dillard's or anyway, in that whole department store thing, the way things went. So when I needed a name for my store, I was going, you know, in many, many circles trying to figure something out. And part of what we did in your program with, in Pivot with Purpose was to examine our pasts and think about like where we had come from, not just our parents, but our grandparents and aunts and uncles and who other people in our lives were who are, have been influential. And as I was thinking through some of these things, I was like, well, wait a minute. There's actually retail in my blood. And there was that store. And why don't I just use that name? And so that was sort of an aha moment. Like, okay, but wait, I never knew a single Cain in my life. We were all, I was on the Sloan side of this whole thing, but you know what? No one else has done it, so I'm gonna do it. And so that's how I picked the name, and that is, yeah, that's that story.
Okay, so tell me the reality story. Okay, you have this great idea, you have a background with digital, and then what's the reality of taking the idea and actually getting your artists together in your store up? Tell us that story.
So, you know, there's a lot of chickens and eggs in this whole story, as with any story. Like, what comes first? Like, what do I do first? And so one of the things that I started to do was to just talk to various artists and to say, hey, like, if I had this store, would you let me sell stuff? Would you sell your work with me? And almost all of them were like, yeah, yeah, sure, of course. I was like, whoa, really? Like, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was going to come up against or who was going to like it or hate it. And so, but I got a lot of encouragement from everyone that I spoke to. And so, you know, the other piece of it was I knew that, we were in the throes of a major global pandemic, and actually opening a physical store is like a many, many multiple months project. So I thought, well, there are things that I can do now. I can start the online piece and try and start building the brand and getting some brand recognition and developing relationships with artists. And, you know, the customers will come. I swear they will. I know that they will. The customers are going to come. But, you know, I need a roster of artists first. So I was like, oh, you know what? I know how to do all this digital media stuff. I know how to do content management systems. How hard can it be to build a Shopify store? So, well, I'll tell you how hard it is. It's really hard to build a Shopify store. So I went ahead and I built one, not that hard, but then it was really ugly and really bad and it needed a lot of work. So I knew a guy who's a consultant. I found a guy who's a consultant who does Shopify stores. That's his specialty. He's like a developer. And I hired him and he said, okay, so here you go, Catherine, here are the things that you need to change. I said, you know what, stop, Mike, like, don't tell me anything that I need to change. Just go change it. Just go, like, here's a week, here's the money, like, just go make it look amazing. And he did. And he came back and he was like, it looks great. So, you know, it looked great from a functionality. Like I know how I can manage all of this. And so what I have, what I'm up against now is figuring out like how to keep that content fresh and keep great photography in there and like keep it like interesting looking all the time. That's really hard. So,
well, I love your website and I love your stuff. Can you maybe tell us about a couple of artists and what they've created for you?
Sure. Well, so one of my first artists is absolutely one of my favorite humans is a guy named Dustin Yager, and he has a business that he calls Ceramics in Theory, and he works almost exclusively in porcelain, and then he takes his porcelain and he kind of roughs it up with like really bright colors of big swaths of rough brush strokes of color and paint, and then he writes dirty words on them, and he says things like "what the actual fuck," and can we say bad words on your
podcast? We can say bad words on this podcast.
Okay. You know, and I have vases that say tough shit, and
they're actually quite beautiful as well as whimsical. They're exactly amazing.
Exactly. And I did a really fun interview with him too, where he kind of explained his entire thing. I should probably just do a podcast with him and put it up on my website. But anyway, so he is a really, really interesting guy, and he was willing to work with me really early on when I was struggling to find people. So the other fun thing that he's done for me is I've asked him to do a couple of kind of custom pieces for me. I have these new tall mugs. I call them all day tall mugs, because you can drink your coffee in the morning and your water in the afternoon and your beer at night, because they're perfect for all of it.
Everything is so beautiful. You have great taste and it's so fun, and it must be fun to meet these artists and to help them. So you have your store up, you've launched, you have some customers. What's going to happen in the future? What's the plans for the future?
So one of the things that I've come to realize as I have, been buying a lot of stuff and selling a fair amount as well, I've sort of turned into the mug and vase store. Like when you focus on ceramics like this, it's mugs and vases. And there's, because they're in a nice price point for people. They're a good gift price point. But I'm never going to be able to pay rent on that store that I just signed a lease on selling mugs and vases. So I'm going to have to come up with another strategy or plan to do higher margin, like larger things. And my plan right now is finding some vintage pieces of furniture and renovating them and putting them up for sale. Nice. And hopefully it'll also, they're going to be real eye poppers. And I've had, I found an amazing, amazing woman who is helping me with the reupholstery piece. She's a designer and she knows all the people who will do all the work. So she's handling all of that for me. And we've had a really fun time kind of picking out fabrics and colors and things. So I'll send you a picture when our first chairs come out.
I can't wait. Yeah, they sound amazing. And what neighborhood is your store in? And do you have an estimated time where you think you're going to launch the store?
I do. The neighborhood is called Prospect Heights. The address, it's sort of frustrating because the address is 535 Carlton Avenue, but the entrance to my store is on Dean Street. So I said to the landlord when we were going through the lease negotiations, can we please get me a Dean Street address? They're like, oh, no, that can't happen. Like, all right, well, I'll go do that myself someday. But for now, that's it. And it is Prospect Heights. It's literally like three blocks up Dean Street from Barclays Center.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
So you can go watch basketball and then go spend some money with you.
And then there's this huge hole in the ground that's between the building where my store is and the opposite end of the block where four new residential towers are being built.
So, and when do you plan to open?
Oh, I plan to open if everything goes according to plan and the New York City Department of Buildings is cooperative, I should be doing a soft launch in August and a grand opening in September.
I'll be there. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So maybe could you just share a few things about our work together that, you know, might have helped you get here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I should have a Pivot with Purpose book in front of me so I can kind of like jog my memory a little bit. But the things that really stand out for me were the very specific exercises that I had to do, or homework assignments. Things where we kind of really dug in deep on what I really love to do and what really brings me joy and what really gets me going. And I had never really thought of things that way. I'd never really given myself permission to think of things in the way that you were asking me to think about them. And what came out of it for me was that, you know, one of the things I love to do is shop. I'm an amazing shopper. But to say that, there's so much shame in it in our culture to be like, you don't want to be this like, you know, super consumerist, you know, materialist person who just likes to shop. But what if you translated your love of shopping and buying beautiful things into a career that actually supports working artists and can support you and can be a really interesting part of your community? So that was, I think, one of the big kind of aha moments for me. And and also that whole concept of the somebody should, because I've been doing that my entire life. Like every time I walk by an empty storefront, somebody should put a stationery store. Somebody should put like, I've got so many great ideas for everybody. If you need one, come call me.
Well, it was an honor to work with you. And as you were telling your story today, I was lighting up inside just thinking, she's going to get paid to shop. And, you know, I love that you're bringing your social impact into it as well, that it's going to help your neighborhood. It's going to help these artists. It's going to provide a gathering place.
Throw in another little thing that I've been doing. A couple of the artists that I work with, most of them sell themselves on their own websites, but then when they sell to me, they obviously sell to me at wholesale. And one of them gives 10% of the proceeds for all of his website sales to the Innocence Project. And that's a cause that is very near and dear to my heart as well. So when I was buying from him, his name, by the way, is Adams Perrier, and you should see his stuff on my site because it is amazing. He's the most interesting artist. I love his work. So I told him that I would buy the work from him wholesale and I would make a donation. I did make a donation to the Innocence Project in his name at 10% of the what would have been the full retail price of everything I bought from him.
Amazing.
So that's kind of the way I'm trying to give back, because I didn't want to take away his Innocence Project donation and it felt important to me. So giving back is obviously very important.
Well, I love that you've been able to take in all these parts, including just your neighborhood, and put them all together in the same business. Tell us the website so we can go shopping this weekend.
Okay, again, it's Cain Sloan, so it's www.cainsloan.com.
And I'm going to go, but I bought my sister and my niece mugs from you that they absolutely love, but I'm going to buy myself something this weekend. So
okay, well, you and all of your podcast listeners can get a very special discount at Cain Sloan if you use a code BFF, like best friends forever, 20, and then I'll save you 20%.
Oh, that's so nice of you to offer that to all of us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
I'm so excited for you.
You are a delight, and I'm excited to come visit you soon when you're putting your store together.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for being here today.
It was nice talking with you and nice to see you. Take care,
Laurel. Nice to see you. Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.